Everybody here today. For the purposes of a quorum, I'm Richard Ball, Commissioner of New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets, and a trustee of the fund. I am joined by fund board members Mike Kimmelman and Peter Arigena. Thank you, gentlemen. Member Barry Sample, chairman of the New York State Gaming Commission, is not able to join us today. He was called away to New York City. But a quorum being present, we can call this meeting to order. And I do so now. Our first order of business is to designate one of us as the presiding officer. Can I have a motion to do so?
Nominate Commissioner Ball.
You always do that.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Way
Mike.
Way easier.
And a second?
I second it.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. I would like to say just a couple things before we get into our agenda. In addition to the members present, Kelly Young, Executive Director of the Fund, is with us. Thank you for helping with the agenda and the script for today. Also joined by Connie Richardson and Christy Kalikia. Thank you so much for being here. We'd like to take note of our location, which is always a fun thing to do. The Harness Racing Museum here is a special place, special room. New exhibits as we walked in today. I think we all got to appreciate that very much. Kind of keeps us grounded, I think, if we continue to meet here. I would like to do so. The agenda has been updated from the one that was circulated to everyone. If you have not picked up a new one, we can take care of that. It's just slightly modified. Where are those covered?
They're on the back table.
On the back table? Thank you, Connie. And also at this point, we would welcome any public comments before we get into that agenda. I'm going to ask you to limit comments to 5 minutes, and so we'll give as many people an opportunity to speak if they would like to do so. Would anyone like to do so? Okay. Hearing none, let's get on to our agenda. The next item on our agenda is to deal with the minutes. Our regular meeting was January 19th, 2018. I think we have those in our packets. I had a chance to look over them. If they've been looked over sufficiently, can we get a motion to accept them?
I just have one question before we do. Reading the second paragraph on item number four, we had in there some questions about the drug testing and the having the time between disqualifying somebody, and it says in here that we were going to take a look at that and have legal to see if we're good to go on what we've had written. Has anybody looked at this or no?
I'm sorry, I took your discussion to mean working on conditions to clarify that for the next round of conditions for yearlings, and I can confer after this meeting and clarify
okay,
that question
so for
you.
For this year, we're going to go by
the current conditions,
current conditions from last year.
Yes.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Can we get a motion to accept the minutes?
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
And a second.
I'll second that.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 So carried. Thank you. Next item is the consideration of grant applications. We've got another good group of grant applications in front of us here. At our last meeting, the fund approved a budget that provides up to $150,000 in grant funding. And also set an application deadline of March 1st for applications. We received 5 grant requests, and I know the trustees have all had the opportunity to review those in advance. They came from the same 5 entities as we entertained last year, that being the Harness Racing Museum and Hall of Fame, the Goshen Historic Track, New York State 4-H, Harness Horse Youth Foundation, and Racing Under Saddle in New York. And we've invited the applicants here today to give us about a 5 to 7 minute presentation on their grant and allow the trustees to ask any questions. We're going to take the presentations in the order that I announced them, and then at the conclusion, the trustees will discuss the requests and determine awards for this year. We will start with the Harness Racing Museum. They submitted three different grant proposals, one to continue harness racing education programs at $50,000, one for microfiche digitalization at $40,000, and one for the museum collection digitalization at $50,000. Last year, we provided a grant in the amount of $48,750 to support the expansive harness racing education programs under the museum. Under Section 332.1, the fund is authorized to distribute monies received by it to support and promote research, educational programming, and preservation of the history and traditions here of harness and trotting horse racing. So let me turn it over at this point to Janet Terhune, our host. And thank you so much for hosting us again.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome to all of you for coming to the Harness Racing Museum and Hall of Fame. Of all of the grant proposals that we submitted, definitely the most important one is the one for education. But I would really like to explain the microfiche project. This information from 1973 to 1991 includes, for horses, it includes every single start, be it qualifier, matinee, time trial back in the 70s and 80s, or a race, parimutuel race. Every single one of his starts is recorded here. Each one of these fish has 208 blocks of data. One of the problems is that there are very few readers available, and there are even fewer readers that have printing capabilities. So this information is basically a prisoner on a blue card. This has been a pet project of mine since I created, when I worked at the USTA, I formatted for this, but I also changed it over to formatting it on CD from 1992 until Pathway went live. Once Pathway went live, there was really no reason to make it into any kind of external form. And when I first looked into converting it, it was $160,000. And that was just out of range for the USTA. It was out of range for anybody. And even when I started here in 2012, I checked in with a company in New Jersey, and their quote was $80,000. And it's just been one of those things. And so last year, I decided, well, I'm going to ask somebody at AQHA, because they are always digitizing things. And she said, call a guy at NextScan, a company right over here. And he has a machine that you can just drop the fish in, and it reads them, it makes TIFF files out of every single one. Every single one of these files has the horse's registration number in the same exact place with his gait. So you can, so you should be able to hook that data to Pathway or somewhere. It just seems like it's something that somebody should do. The time period I gave you, and it's a significant period because most of the people in this room got involved during that period, got involved with the sport of harness racing during that period. So a lot of these horses, they can't even look up because the information just isn't available. And while the numbers of horses starting and the number of race meets that are being held have both declined, in the time period when microfiche was used, we were at our height. We topped out at 18,000 registrations in 1986 and 60,000 USTA members in 1986. It just kind of makes sense to do this. Out of the roughly 40,000 horses that started every year, they made a million lines of race data. It's an incredible resource that just is stuck in this format. And while it's not, may not be possible to recoup the expenses, I still think that the digitization and the preservation and accessibility of the information is of singular importance, and therefore we're requesting the $40,000 to help do this project. And now I'm going to turn it over to Christine so that she can talk about education and what she's been doing. And this is Christine Roberts, the head of the education coordinator.
Okay, so this is some of the programs that we have in line coming up. And I'll discuss a few that we've already gone through already this year, and also what we plan for in the upcoming year. Last time we met, we discussed having some funding, hopefully to coordinate with the Harness Work Youth Foundation for some money that we could
give like little stipends or grants to the 4-H if they participated in a certain number of our programs. And then they, in turn, that money would go to the Harness Way Youth Foundation. And it was a little harder to coordinate that at the, you know, in the time frame than I thought it would be. So Janet and I discussed how we go to use the money to expand our programs and get more people involved. So what we did, what I did was open up to free admission to Scouts, which our numbers were dropping with, and 4-H and Pony Club, and that worked out very well. We ended up with a great surge of interest. And not only did we get, so the programs that we ran over the winter since the beginning of the new year were caring for horses in the winter months and making horse blankets, understand equine skeletons, and making trotter collages. And I was shocked at the amount of adult participation. I thought people would come with their children, and but they didn't. They participated in the handouts and all the activities we were doing. That was great. Equine cardiovascular system and making pony peat plots. Winslow actually came, they saw our programs listed, we really extended this out through emails, and they actually wanted to come to see what we're doing so they could copy our programs, so we're doing something right there. And I do believe the 4-H is also going to be starting up, from what I heard, something similar to what we were doing. I did enjoy and I appreciated being welcome to the regional meeting this winter about the Cornell Cooperative Extension, so we can present some of our information. I thought it was interesting, too, the equine cardiovascular system, we actually had adults participating that had family members that had cardiovascular disease, and they wanted to get a better understanding. So we're hitting at a lot of different points with people. We're using creativity projects for children to enjoy learning about horses. We're getting adults interested in just coming into the museum, and what we really saw a big surge with was we had a Valentine's Day event, St. Patrick's Day event, and Spring Fun Day in A Hunt. Now, we used to hope 15 to maybe 30 people at these events. And at Valentine's Day, I'll go children and adults, we had 40 children, 39 adults, St. Patrick's 43 and 42. And the Spring Fun Day, we had 76 children and 66 adults. And we always have this information out. We also have our scouting information out. And since we opened it up free to the Scouts, they don't have to plan on coming with a troop. They can just come on their own with their families and with their brothers and sisters. So we have more people signing up for our PASH program now than we did before, and that's coming up this year, and in the next few months as well. Let's see what else we have. We have these events on this list that I showed you. They're on the Cornell Cooperative Extension calendar all the way up to February, and as well as our website. What we have in the works right now are we have, I think, like six more programs that will be included on there. Eyes, ears, and nose, curing and eyes lithography, Stanford gates and equipment. We're going to have an art show come this fall. We're going to have free classes for youth to come. And I think it's what's important to me about art, like I do the sculpture work for the Hall of Fame as well. And when I'm working on a piece, I don't always know, I don't stop until it stops feeling wrong. So it's really about observation. Everybody in this room that can write their name can actually create artwork. It's really learning to see and observe things. And it's very similar in training to learn horses. You have to be able to see the little changes in the horse's behavior every day. You're changing equipment, you see the change of movement. And to kids, this makes sense. You know. And so I'd like to expand the art show also to some kind of a journalist kind of exhibit where they actually photograph them out in an agricultural setting, and they have to explain what their interest was, what their observations gave them in the creation of this art. Hopefully down the road we're kind of stirring it up if we can get together with Monticello Goshen chapter of Ushua and maybe have them work with us on something. That would be fantastic. We want to have a new driving color contest. That was a great hit. We had, I think it was 43 people?
59
involved in that. And that was a great hit when Rebecca and Joanne went out to Pinehurst. The kids really enjoyed driving on the colors. We wish we had more. And also during our school groups, we only have three sets right now from the last event. If we just split the groups while we're taking pictures on Buddy, the other kids could be trying them on. And we would like to get some equipment out to some drawing stuff out to those Amish kids out west. It was so cute when they sent things in, they draw with a pen designating colors. So just different forms of outreach with that as well. Like to expand out to an art tour museum with children and increase our presence also during the Hall of Fame week. And so from what I understand, 20,000 people pass on that day. And we have about 2,000 coming into the museum. So maybe we have that horse costume. We get somebody out there. We're going to get some donations. We have balloons. We have balloons with the museum on them. And hand out candy, get out and amongst the crowd out there, trying to get more of those people coming here. I wanted to turn to the track if you wanted to do maybe a hat contest that day. We can make hats out front here. And all these funds that you're giving us, we've really expanded. Even our craft events, we used to offer one craft and some games. Now we're offering choices, three crafts and three choices of those. We're having cakes and teas. And what I'm seeing is people, the families, are spending more time in the museum, not just in here participating, but really they're getting, if I could store all the hugs I'm getting from these little people, put them in the bank, I'd be a very rich lady right now. But, and they're just enjoying their time here and really feeling comfortable and learning, you know, opening up to the idea of having horses in their lives. And the last thing I'd like to do is possibly try to work with the schools, the high schools, to get like math programs. I was at the math team we were talking about this morning, so it was Janet in high school, and have them have some kind of a program where they're coming to the races, they're learning about times and how to use math and, you know, in real life. And again, get them involved in the English departments if they want to do some kind of journalism, write their observations, you know, kind of get them out here to the track as well and into the museum. And just thank you for the funding that you've given in.
Trustees, have any questions for either Christine or Janet?
I have a couple questions for Janet.
Okay.
The fact that you mentioned we're not necessarily looking to see whether there's a way to recoup the value of having this data. So then sharing it so that more people could see it isn't that big a deal. It's not like we're going to try to click away at it to make money, right?
Well, I don't, the only way I can think of to store it is in Pathway. I don't know that we have the expertise or the software and hardware that we would need to store that much information. That's a tremendous amount of information. The tapes that you used to store on were enormous.
So my thinking is, if we were looking to do this and do it with the USTA, is it worth asking us so that the dollars go farther if they're willing to share with us the expense to do that?
I would think that that would be a good thing to do. And I can that, definitely do that.
Because that, you know, that just makes it easier to get it done sooner rather than later,
right?
if we decide to do something that way.
Okay.
If we can do something where they match the money we put up, and they're getting a benefit, and everybody gets a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
The money goes a lot farther, so I think it's certainly something that would be worth.
And they can certainly monetize it, because, you know, every report and pathway costs money, and, you know, they could recoup something out of that.
Yes, if we're going to do it with them, and that's something that ends up being something that they might do, they probably should help us out getting the project
Agreed.
Completed, I think.
Agreed.
So.
We're the beneficiaries of a grant from them every year, and, you know, what do we really do for them? You know, I don't, you know, we use their money mostly for operations and for free admission. I would like to give something back to them, I guess is how I see it, too.
Well, in a perfect world, we'll get a good start at that, right?
Right. Did you have any other questions about that?
No, mostly
okay.
the If we're sharing, I was just curious if it was something we were going to share with them. And
I think it's the only way to really get it out to the world is to share it with in Pathway.
Costs nothing to ask.
Right. I've talked to Sherry. I've made sure that she can read the files. So, and she can see the horse's registration number, and she's working on her end.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions?
Should we talk about the $100,000 or?
I think maybe we should do that after we look at
yeah.
okay.
everything.
Okay.
I think
okay. Sounds good. Let me just interrupt for 1 second to also recognize Ed Burns, who's here as New York State Gaming Commission Counsel. Thank you for being here as well. Went right by you. Nothing personal.
I'm so much taller than you probably couldn't see him next to me.
You're huge, Mike.
You covered him up. everybody.
Yeah. Our next applicant is our neighbor to the building, the Goshen Historic Track. The track has requested funds in the amount of $55,000 to make repairs to the Arden Barn, one of the more historic barns on the grounds. Same statute allows us to appropriate funds for maintaining a historic racetrack that is designated as a National Registered Historic Landmark, which certainly meets the standard. So, Tim Masters, the facility supervisor, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon. First off, I thank everybody for letting me be here. In the past, you've helped us. You guys helped us redo the judges' stand and the bandstand in the middle of the infield. The last 2 years, we did the seats in the grandstand. That was originally a 5-year project for me. I hope to be done with it in less than a month.
Wow.
That being said, and you brought up the landmark, there are very few buildings that are really on the historic registry over there. It's the grandstands, the two you helped us with prior to the Arden Barn. I gave you pictures, a little tough to see, but the Arden Barn is the last one of the true historic building that needs to be done. The sill plates underneath the building have collapsed. They basically rotted out. And you can actually see it in the clapboarding on the side. You can see the windows going up and down. Nothing's in a straight line anymore. That is the building Mr. Harriman originally stored his horses in. And I do believe Grant had horses in there with him also during race season and whatnot. People have shown interest and appreciation over the last couple of years on the changes we've made and how the facility in a whole is improving, including the track itself. And they've made their comments and they see it. And that being said, as the facility itself is improving and we've done a lot of other things throughout all the rest of the barns, we've actually had more inquiries on bringing more horsemen in to be stable for sure. I do not have a completed estimate yet on doing this project. So far, I've gotten pretty close to $100,000, and I really can't get a true estimate until the job is begun because it involves literally opening up the building. But that building does need to be jacked up, squared away, and it's set back down, and preferably on concrete so that I don't go through this again, or it won't be done in my lifetime, but the next one doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
and take care of it.
What's the time frame on a project like that, Tim?
It could run anywhere 6 months to a year, depending upon the weather. It couldn't be started until after the race season's over. It involves moving a horseman. I would do that to him, not to mention everybody else working around. And then it would be weather permitting from there. And what needs to be ordered, I'm sure some of those beams under there are going to be special order beams and whatnot. So it's probably going to take about a year to complete the project, all in all.
Okay. Questions for Tim?
I mean, you have empty space there. If it made it cheaper to do in the better weather, you could move that horseman and do it during the better weather, right? Like, you have empty stalls.
I do, but I don't want to disrupt the other horsemen in the area with construction going on in the middle of their race season, being Connors, Kingstrom, Ackerman's over there. I don't want to go a whole lot of cutting and nailing and all that stuff and spook the horses during the peak of their race training.
Once you had that barn in show shape, so to speak, as opposed to being something now that I assume from looking at this is probably a safety hazard.
Yes, it will be so. It can come down.
Right. The idea would be during the times of year when we do have people there, especially Great American Weekend and during the matinee season, be the kind of thing that if it's done correctly, you could show it off a little bit, right? You'd be
Absolutely.
Able to take people through it as opposed to worrying about them falling through something.
I actually do that now with David's permission on race days. As long as somebody from the track is with them, we do walk people through those barns. And there is an existing grant from the Arden Barn to the men's room that's getting replaced as well. So the whole thing will be a showcase. And my pet peeve since I've started is when you come through that front gate, that's my front door. And I wanted this to be the pride of Goshen and a pride of Orange County. And it should be. And it's our history. This is where it all began. And I'm getting it here. And this is really the last piece of the puzzle for that corner of the track. To bring it back up to where people walk in and go, wow, this is fun. This is interesting. And actually, when it's all done, I would love to have an open house to the local villages and give them a tour of the place. A little off race season or early, so I'm not disturbing anybody. But actually let a big open house, let people come in and see how these animals are treated and what the place really looks like. And come through the museum and really put the whole package together for the local people. And a lot of them around here are transplants. Some of them don't even know we exist. It's about time they do. And get more people involved in our sport.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Peter?
Good.
Nope. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Next up is the New York State 4-H program administered through Madison County Cornell Cooperative Extension. The grant request is for $48,900 for the statewide education program that does focus on advancing interest in standardbreds. We have supported the 4-H for many years, and Cooperative Extension has a long history with the fund of providing education and awareness programs through the network. We are authorized to do this in the fund, to distribute the money to such 4-H societies and such amounts as the directors deem advisable. So at this point, I would like to welcome Corinne Bump, Executive Director of Madison County CCE, and 4-H educator Jessica Spalding.
Thank you all for allowing us to be here in this beautiful place. I have to say I've always wanted to get here, and today I have the perfect reason to arrive at this great spot. So Kelly, it's right here.
It's down in the bottom, yep.
So we know that you have the written document, the proposal in front of you, but what we wanted to do a little bit today is just help bring some of that to light with some pictures, help you see the impact that the program has been making across New York. One of the really exciting parts about funding the New York State Horse Program through 4-H is that we have the ability to impact every county across New York. So even though Jessica and I are based in Madison County, the program itself is statewide. We just help pass along those funds and help coordinate those programs. So I wanted to just start by providing a few tidbits from the recently released American Horse Council study. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that yet, but some really nice information there about the continuing interest that people have with horses. Saw a little bit of a dip in the number of households that own horses compared to the study previously. But one of the things that remains the same is the amount of households that are interested in horses. That probably isn't surprising to us, right? The horse has actually been identified as the third most beloved animal in the U.S. after dogs and cats. So horses are pretty high up there, and they're also a very important magnet for youth in terms of helping them develop leadership and citizenship skills. So while people often think about 4-H as an animal-based program and surrounding those kinds of environments, 4-H is really a leadership development program. It's really about positive youth development, citizenship, and leadership, but using horses the magnet to do that. One of the pieces that I think is particularly important to point out in this study that's relevant to our request for continued funding is that we've actually seen an increase in the number of minors that are involved with the horse industry. It's one of the few sort of the upticks that we see right now in the study. But if we think about those youth, what I think is particularly relevant to the standardbred grant is that a lot of those youth still are not having the experience of exposure to the standardbred. So this program really gets that the unique qualities of the standardbred in front of those youth and helps capture their interest and their enthusiasm. So Jessica is really our lead on the front with working with these programs. So she's going to briefly walk through some of the key aspects. There's seven aspects of the program, or eight aspects. She's going to hit on a couple of those.
So I came in at the middle of the 2017 year into this position. So I wasn't actually here for a lot of these events, but I was able to reach out to each individual county and see what they did and how it went. So we did hit 9 counties last year, being Madison and Herkimer. They joined up for a tri-county event, did Equine 101 at Morrisville State College. Erie County and Cortland County did an ag extravaganza. They invited local schools, they talked about standard bred racing, the harnesses, all of that, along with other agricultural commodities there. Steuben County and Franklin County, Cayuga and Orange, and then Oswego County all held events last year for us. So in 2017, they did reach over 1,000 participants throughout the 9 counties. And each individual county hit topics such as standard bred driving and racing, conditioning and training, harnessing, nutrition, anatomy and physiology of a horse, reproduction, pasture management, conditioning and training techniques, along with equine career options. And statewide 4-H events that I help pull together, we do Horse Bowl, which is commonly at Cornell. This is to test the kids on their horse knowledge. They compete at the county level, they can make it to states, and then we do bring them to nationals. The top 4 seniors have that opportunity. And we bring in over 100 kids. We just did 2018's event, we had 150 kids there. Then we do Hippology at the state fair. I was there last year for 2017's event, we had about 130 kids. And all of these are only able to happen with all of our volunteers that do come from every county involved. We do horse judging. This is an event that we're really trying to encourage kids to do. They're come, they judge classes, and they have to give moral reasons. So that helps with their public speaking. And then horse communications, it's like a public presentation, but it's all about a horse topic that they choose. And this brings in about over 100 kids each year. And then this leads us into our Eastern National 4-H Horse Roundup in Kentucky. So each year we take the top 4 seniors from each educational event. So we bring about 16 kids from throughout the state, and they compete in those 4 events from before. This year we had 26 states that were there, 306 contestants. That's the biggest year that they've had. And we did have a New York team placed in the top 10 for Hippology and judging. And with that being said, we also had individual placings. We had individuals placed in Hippology, Horse Bowl, and judging, which is the first time New York's been on the state in about 10 years, or on the board. So along with competitions, we do tours on Friday. We hit Keeneland, we hit the horse park, and we hit breeding farms. This year, we're looking into standard bred farms. We have connections to Morrisville, so we're really trying to promote the standard bred industry.
So all those activities and events are made possible because of your support and your investment within the program. I mean, you think about all those kids that you're really impacting. We can't thank you enough for that. Going back to the number of households that are interested in horses and would like to be involved with horses, one of the struggles that we have in the industry is the barriers to entry, right? Perceived or real. How do I access horses? I don't have any knowledge about horses. How do I even get involved with horses? So over the last couple of years, 4-H has become more involved with an event that happens at the New York State Fair called the World of Horses Exhibit. That exhibit has over 10,000 people that come through it during the time of the event. These are some pictures of some of the activities that take place there. And this is a place where people come through and they can learn about horses, the importance of the horse industry, understand more about how to get involved, how to reach horses, and understand not only the economic impact of the horse industry, but a greater appreciation of horses and the people who are involved with horses. We also, since the beginning of the time of having the event, have had as one of the featured breeds, retired standardbreds, really promoting how versatile the standardbred is, how wonderful of an animal to make for people with all kinds of different skill sets to come in. So that's been a real successful part. This year, we would like to expand and have one of our exhibits specifically on standardbreds beyond the retired and repurposed part and into the racing part. So we're looking forward to developing that further. The funds have also provided us the opportunity to purchase educational material that can be used not only for the statewide events that Jessica has mentioned, but that are also available to counties. The Horse Industry Handbook and Horse Smarts was something that was purchased and distributed to pretty much every county that had a 4-H program with horses, and that's all as a result of this program. So the ability to continue to provide that information, there's a whole new set of horse curriculum that was just recently released. That's all made possible to get that to the counties and the youth because of these funds. For 2018, we are certainly are hopeful that you will continue to invest in this program, invest in our youth. The key criteria remain the same in terms of what we're looking to do, the outreach that we're looking to make, and again, it's the New York State 4-H horse program, so it's a statewide program that you're investing in, that we're able to disseminate those funds to really make an impact. According to the New York State 4-H office, last year there were 4,300 4-H youth involved in the equine programming. Our goal is to increase that by at least 10%. One of the things that's happened really this time last year, three of the four of us that are involved with this program weren't here. So there's three of us that are new to the program, have a lot of energy and a lot of excitement and enthusiasm. So we're confident that we can boost that number 10% at minimum. So these are the folks that make up the team. Jessica and I are based out of the Madison County office, but it's a statewide office. So Andy Turner is our lead at Cornell for 4-H in general. Dr. Lindsay Goodale is new to the program as well. So Lindsay, Corinne, Jessica, and I'm Corinne, are really excited about moving this program forward and hope you will continue to invest in us and help us impact all these little kids. So imagine that they're hugging you, high-fiving you, saying thank you for the impact that you've made on them and the impact that that makes on our whole industry. So we want to really thank you for your past support and ask you to continue to support our program. Take any questions that you have.
I'm just looking over your breakdown sheet here. Roughly last year we gave you $40,000, and looking at your breakdown for this year, we're roughly looking at there's about $10,000 actually goes for materials and et cetera, mm-hmm. and there's roughly $10,000 goes for staffing. Mm-hmm. And this staffing that we have, that's just for the standard red for these programs, or is it for?
Correct. That staffing pays for the portion of Jessica's salary that allows her to coordinate those statewide events that are made possible through this program. I think she spends about 25, what do we have on your schedule? 25-some% of her time on this program. So it's administered out of the Madison County office with the support of the Cornell at the folks at Ithaca. And if your funding wasn't there, we wouldn't be able to do the program. So we really appreciate that.
Did
that answer your question?
Yep. All right, thanks so much, Corinne and Jessica.
Thank you very much.
Our next request is from the Harness Horse Youth Foundation. It has asked for $7,500 for two hands-on summer youth programs at Goshen Historic Track this year. One will be a 5-day camp at the introductory level, and the other will be a leadership camp for previous graduates of the first program. The fund has supported the Youth Foundation camps in New York for several years now. Our law does provide funding not to be in excess of 1.5% thereof in an account designated to support and promote research and educational programming. This grant application does meet that standard. We do not have a formal presentation from the Youth Foundation, but we do have Jennifer Connor here, a new board member of the Youth Foundation, with some pictures. Pictures worth 1,000 words, right?
Definitely. So I'm going to start out by just passing around the pictures.
And so you can see the involvement that they get to have in the program, hands-on with the ponies and learning about the standard bred industry and the joy that is on their faces as they're learning to do it. So I am a newly elected board member, and I'm extremely excited to be working with this group. There are a lot of young and innovative people in this group now, and we're really hoping to expand Harness Horse Youth Foundation and really keep it around, because I think it's an extremely important program. We really need to develop the youth and their understanding, as well as keep them connected to the harness racing industry. So part of my focus in being on the board is that we not only provide the experience, but then we give them an avenue to be able to continue to be involved in harness racing. So the camps here are really important. I've been so fortunate to work with them. Prior to my involvement on the board, we've conditioned, my family's conditioned ponies for them. We've also, I've spoken at different meetings, presented some material to them. And just volunteered in the barn to help them. So I really love this program. Growing up, I did not participate in the camps, but we were always involved with my family in these camps. The two camps that are here, the leadership camp, I got to speak to the kids last year. I presented to them on networking. I really enjoyed doing that because I have been very fortunate in this business and growing up, and I've worked at a breeding farm, and I currently work in a pharmaceutical industry, and I think that my networking has gotten me where I am. So I was able to kind of teach the kids a little bit about that and the different careers in harness racing. And, leadership is important. And then the introductory level camp is really important for the kids to get their legs in here and learn about it. And some of the kids that were in the leadership camp, they do the introductory program and come back. I mean, they're great kids that come from many different backgrounds. So I feel like it's a really great program that needs to stick around, and your support is greatly appreciated. Are there any questions?
So you like this, huh?
I love it. I do.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Have you found that many of the graduates from the camp or attendees go on to have careers or lives involved in the equine industry?
There are a few, yeah. there are quite a few, and we're hoping to expand that. You know, I mean, I think that some of the new board members have come to recognize that it's not just about getting them there, but it's keeping them there and teaching them how to be involved, whether they want to be an owner, a trainer, they actually want to drive horses, you know, or they just want to be a fan. So, there are a few kids that have gone on to do that.
Very good. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Finally, we have an application from Racing Under Saddle in New York. They have asked for $5,000 for the County Fair Racing Series purses that we have supported for the past several years. The program already has a commitment from 7 fairs where they competed last year, and they may add several more this summer. Our law does provide funding at the County Agricultural Society harness racing events, and this application does meet that standard. The racing under saddle events were well attended at the county fairs, and this racing series has grown to become another way to promote and enhance New York's standard bred breeding and racing program. Michelle Miller is the treasurer and director of marketing, was not able to join us today, but she did send us notes which are in your book, and I trust you've had an opportunity to take a look at. So to all the presenters who gave us their best pitch, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate the time. And now to the trustees, what is your pleasure, gentlemen?
I think with our budget, and we can, Peter and I have talked about ways maybe rework parts of this in the future to stretch it some more, maybe next year prior to getting the grants, being able to take care of some of these funds through our promotional parts of the budget. But we have basically $150,000 that we can put towards this at this time. I have a rough idea how I would suggest dividing that up. But on top of that, and with Peter's suggestion on the Breeders' Awards this year of not taking that in our budget to $1.1 million like it was last year, because we have a residency component that stretches that money farther. Last year, we were able to, you know, as the year wore on, Brian let us know we had some extra funds kicking around, and we were able to funnel that back towards Breeders Awards. If we feel, and I think we do, that that's in good shape for this year, I think part of what we can do here is, if we get to that opportunity at the end of the year, take some of that money and maybe move it back after what we decide here today to take care of some of this stuff, especially for the museum component, after Janet talks to the USTA, if we have an idea how much they're looking to help us, help themselves, that could really stretch that farther. So I would think that if we did what we did last year for both the Youth Foundation and Racing Under Saddle, and then split what we had left somewhat equally between the museum, the track, and 4-H, allowing us to maybe at our next meeting, when we know more about our numbers, maybe come back and
further adjust
maybe a little bit for where we fall short in the other places, but even more grandly, depending on what USDA is looking to do, to go after one or both of these objectives with the museum. All of that said, I sit on the board of directors of Historic Tracks, so as usual, I can't vote on this item.
Okay.
I just have a couple questions to further what Mike's saying. Kelly and I kind of hit a few things, and if she's going to be able to talk to our legal, is possibly the $5,000 we give to Racing Under Saddle, if we can stick it underneath in a promotional thing, where, like we did with, I think we used to do the grant given to the pamphlets for the county fairs, we moved that over to something else. If we could, if it's legal for us to use this underneath a promotional thing, mm-hmm. that'll give us some more money for the grant area. And if it's legal for us to, if we have that extra money that we came up with last year, if we could legally be able to do those two projects for the museum this year underneath a different scenario than just a grant. Because it would be nice to, I would really like to get those two projects underhand for the museum, because that would be great. You can, everybody in the world can go right on and find all this information. And if we don't do something with that, those things are going to deteriorate. We're going to lose all that information that really needs to be the history. Okay. It needs to be saved. So if there's a way that Kelly can talk with legal to find out what other options we have to be able to help the museum this year other than through this grant. So that's something maybe you guys can work on.
I think for the museum, I think you and I talked about crafting our budget in the future slightly differently for some of these things that may fall into other categories.
Right. That's
so I mean, I was looking at that as a future endeavor.
Okay. Future meaning?
Next year.
Oh, next year.
Not today.
Well.
Okay.
Or this fall or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next year comes faster every year. Yeah. So it's not. It's never that far away.
I mean, if we're going to wait till next year, we can increase, you know, we can increase the grants and put it through the grants for next year. You know, that's
correct.
One other way.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like we can do something today and then agree that later on in the year when we know what our financial picture looks like, we can add to whatever it is we decide to do today.
I would really like to do those two projects for the museum somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Any other thoughts? So let's break it out. Let's do one at a time. So our grant to the Harness Racing Museum for 2018. What would be your recommendation?
So doing the math, $150,000, take out the $7,500 for the Youth Foundation, the $5,000 for Racing Under Saddle. If you divide it three ways, it's $45,833.
So I think at this time that would be a good start for that portion of what we're going to do.
Okay.
Okay, so you'd like to do $45,833 for the track, the museum, and 4-H. Is that right?
So that would mean for the museum, for the Racing Museum, in the amount of $45,833 for 2018. Can I have a motion to that effect?
We're going to do them separately.
We're going to do them separately.
I'll make a motion to do that.
And a second?
I second it.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Secondly, a motion to approve a grant to the Goshen Historic Track for the amount of $45,833 for 2018. Can I get a motion?
I think you guys got to do that.
Oh, that's right. I make a motion to give the $45,833 to the historic track.
I'll second it. And we are in favor. Thank you. Third, I would ask for a motion to approve a grant to the New York State 4-H program through Madison County Cooperative Extension in the amount of the same amount, $45,833.
I'll make that motion.
Made by Mike. Second.
And I second it.
Peter. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Fourthly, a motion to approve a grant to the Harness Horse Youth Foundation in the amount of $45,833 for 2018.
$7,500.
Sorry.
Oh my goodness.
They almost got a windfall there. Thanks for the interruption, Kelly.
I'll make the motion for the adjusted $7,500.
Okay. Thank you.
And I second it.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So carried. And finally, $5,000. Well, you know, 43 seemed to be a popular number. A motion to approve a grant to Racing Under Saddle in New York for the amount of $5,000 and cost of one pitcher replacement. Can I have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
And a second?
I second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you so much, and thank you again to all our presenters for being here today. At this time, I would recommend to the trustees that we consider going into executive session for the express purpose of consideration of personnel matters pursuant to New York Public Officers Law, Section 105.1. I will need a motion to do that.
I'll make that motion.
And a second?
And I second it.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And it is approved. So I would kindly ask everyone but the trustees and the executive director to give us a little time so we can hold our session. Feel free to wander around the museum in the meantime.
Sorry about that.
Kelly, turn the tape off.
You almost did the greatest job of all time at that.